Hello and welcome to The Last Stop, your very last stop for the best new music here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. So I'm your host Lisa, and Jesse's here with me, and this episode we have a very special surprise for you. We'll be featuring the interview we did with musician Carl Schilde. And in case you're not familiar with his work, Carl Schilde is an artist who has experimented with a lot of different genres over the course of his career, from ambient to experimental, as more recently, pop. So his last album, Neuropop, was released on Fund the Church just last February. It's really such a beautiful and introspective album. So for this episode, we're going to be focusing on songs that we talked about during our interview. So to start off the show, we're going to be playing another artist from the Fun the Church label. This is Gio, and again, so cool, as someone who also kind of has that, not a revival of this kind of classic soft rock, but a continuation, I suppose, of it. And we're going to be hearing the song Good Life from the album Mirrors and Smoke. After that, we're going to be hearing from Late Stage Beach Boys. This song's called Busy Doing Nothing. It's one of my favorites, just because I love the lyrics so much. You know, he's basically at one point describing how to get to his house. It's like, take left for a few blocks. It's like, it's just so good. Absolute genius. After that, we're going to get into an ad break, but you're going to want to stick around to hear a very exclusive interview, as well as get to hear from some tracks from Carl Schilde as well. So again, here is Gio with his song Good Life. And of course, you're listening to The Last Stop here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
So much beauty all around, isn't it a good life we've been given? All those gracious ones I've found, such a generous world in which we'll live. But now I get the deal, the less I fake, the more I'm real, the more solid ground I feel. Oh, I'm glad I finally found out, 'cause it's been a mystery, the less I act, the more I see, the more good things come. Those rays
They were so scrambled, but now it's okay. I tell you, I've got enough to do. The afternoon was filled up with phone calls. What a hot, sticky day. If you decide to come, you're gonna do it right. Drive for a couple miles, you see a sign and turn left for a couple blocks. Next is mine, you'll turn left on a little road. It's a bumpy one, you'll see a white fence. Move the gate and drive through on the left side. Come right in and you'll find me in my house somewhere, keeping busy while I wait. Get a lot of thoughts in the morning. I write them all down. If it wasn't for that, I'd forget them in a while. And lately I've been thinking about a good friend I'd like to see more of. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I'll make a call.
Couldn't find it, so I sat and concentrated on the number, and slowly it came to me. So I dialed it and I let it ring a few times. There was no answer, so I let it ring a little more. Still no answer, so I hung up the telephone, got some paper and sharpened up a pencil and wrote a letter to my friend.
So you're listening to The Last Stop here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. So we have a very special surprise for our listeners today. We have alternative musician Carl Schilde here doing an interview. And in case you're not familiar with his work, Carl Schilde is an artist originally from Berlin who recently moved to Toronto. He experimented with a lot of different incarnations and genres throughout his career, started as co-founding the experimental music collective Heavy Listening, creating the most minimalist record ever to date, Wow, which was a single note record, which I think is so cool, by the way, as well as creating the ambient duo with Playdate, which was more recently. And I saw online too that you played in the live band with Damo Suzuki. I had to mention that too. I'm sorry, I'm such a dork. I had to mention that. And yeah, so Europop is his first solo effort to date. We find Carl kind of going into a more structured kind of dream pop, kind of more soft rock. I'm calling it smart pop. That's what I've been telling my friends.
I love that, actually. That's a cool
that's good. Title. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. So just for our listeners at home, here at Last Stop, we not only like to get to know our musicians as musicians, but also music lovers. So we're going to be starting off with a little bit of questions about music appreciation. So I'd like to start off with something kind of fun. Do you remember the first item you ever bought at a record store?
I should have been prepared. I think it's actually the 7-inch of Milli Vanilli. Girl You Know It's True, I think. Yeah.
That's amazing. I was going to also ask, what was the last item you bought at the record store? I don't know if it's the same thing.
I wish, no. The last item, probably some used Todd Rundgren record or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was just listening to him the other day.
I think it was Healing, the album. That was the last one, I think, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Okay, I kind of want to go back to those first music memories. Was there any time that you were kind of just struck by music, something like, this is real, this is good?
My childhood memories of music are definitely connected to radio and like 80s hits, I guess, because that's when I was a child. And also like back then, the 70s stuff was still more on the radio. Like that was still like quite recent. So I think all this kind of grand pop gestures, you know, this kind of grand over the top production stuff. I think these are kind of the earliest memories of sound. And then later, yeah, playing music myself, I guess. And, you know, that was the mid-90s, I guess, when my first Britpop band.
That's super cool. So when you're, say, finding a new band, what's something that you're looking for? What attracts you to music?
Those are really good questions. I like it. Let me think for a little second. Yeah.
We're getting deep here.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I guess it could be like a certain sound, I guess, or like something I didn't hear, something in new context that I didn't expect, or some interesting angle that's surprising, or sometimes, you know, if I'm actually in a record store, then just a weird cover sometimes, you know.
Judge an album by its cover. Okay. Yeah. Or sometimes judge an album by its cover.
Yeah, exactly. It can come from anywhere, I guess. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I can see also in your, you know, career how varied your music really is. But I'm curious now, is there a band that you're annoying about? Like your friends just tell you, shut up, I don't want to hear this anymore.
Definitely the Beach Boys, I think.
Oh, the Beach Boys, right? Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely have been a super fan for a while, for ages. And it's like, yeah, I'm always looking for people to talk about little fun facts and, you know, like the nerdy stuff. Yeah.
I saw your playlist on your Spotify account, the deep cuts of like these hidden Beach Boys references. Very cool. Yeah. Actually, do you have any recommendations for their later catalog?
Well, there's a couple of phases there too. I think definitely the Sunflower and Surf's Up albums from the early 70s. Those are still quite safe, like they're likable music. And then there's stuff in the later 70s, which is Love You and 15 Big Ones, kind of, which are like quite, I would say, an acquired taste. Like first you definitely think, what the hell's happening? These are just middle-aged men who can't sing anymore.
Right. Sounds like, great. No, that's
like
awesome.
A weird combination of like still this kind of 50s doo-wop stuff the Beach Boys have, but then played with synthesizers, you know, and it's like really confusing at first, but then especially when you know the kind of the troubled history they have and the whole family dynamics, and there's little, like lots of beauty to discover there, you know, like lots of, I feel grown quite attached to that kind of complicated music, you know, that's not always like great, you know, but there's something there emotionally that you feel.
Right, it's genuine. To, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be taking notes with this. I'm going to be taking notes with the next question too, because I want to know what you've been listening to recently, anything that kind of sparks your interest, either old or new stuff.
I think there's actually this guy called Gio, who's actually released a record on the same label, Fun in the Church, as when the Europe Pop came out, and it's his persona. He created this Italian pop persona called Gio, and it's amazing. Like it's it's all the best of, like, that's what, if you think Europop, that's actually what it should have sounded like. If I went through with that concept. But if you're into your 70s, 80s Europop, then that's one to check out for sure. Yeah.
I also read online that you were inspired by Italian soft rock. Do you have any recommendations from that genre?
Definitely Battisti. I think his catalog is quite impressive. I think that's kind of the best entry point. Yeah.
Like, for starters, because I wouldn't say I'm well-versed in Italian soft rock from the 70s.
No, but I think, yeah, I'm really fascinated. Like, I feel like every country has its own like pop history, and you can always like rediscover or fall in love with pop music again, over and over again, you know, like in each country has its own like
unique take, kind of.
Yeah, also like I'm also really into Japanese like folk rock from the 70s.
Do you like Hiromi Hosono and Happy End?
I love that stuff. So that's, I feel like especially that the Happy End records, those three albums, I think like they're really, you know, when you kind of grow tired of pop music, and then you kind of, oh, that's why I like that stuff, you know, because, and somebody else did it in a different way. And,
exactly. Yeah. It's their own interpretation. It's not exactly right. Yeah. It's their own thing. Okay. Very cool. All right. Well, let's talk a bit about the song that you chose for us today. It was Woman of the World by Jim O'Rourke. So I don't know how many songs there are in the universe, but why did you choose this song out of every song ever?
Yeah, I had a quite, once you gave me the task of finding the song, I thought a bit too much about it, I guess. But I think I chose that one because Jim O'Rourke is definitely like an artist that inspired me in my way of making music. And because he's also had this experimental background, but does these pop records every 3 years, you know, and but also his like angle in terms of lyrics has been really inspiring for me. And just that something, yeah, like he, because the pop stuff sometimes can be very like happy sounding, but the lyrics are quite dark, and it kind of takes a while to understand the dissonance sometimes in that context. And also that album where it starts with the Woman of the World is kind of where we, like, it's very freeing in terms of structure. Like, not, you know, pop doesn't need to be 3.5 minutes every time. It can be very catchy and 9 minutes, you know, like.
Which we will be playing the full thing, by the way. I appreciate that. I could not cut it. It's just a travesty. And this is college radio. We can have some fun. Yeah. So we'll just get into it right now. So again, this is Woman of the World, especially chosen by our guest, Carl Schilde. And of course, you're listening to The Last Stop here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
Thank you.
So we are back here on the last stop on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. So what you just heard was Woman of the World by Jim O'Rourke, which was specially chosen by our guest, Carl Schilde. So I kind of want to know, what elements can you extract from this piece that we can find in your own work?
This piece, I think the layering of different parts, yeah, this is kind of a track, like none of the tracks on my album are like that long, like I don't go that far, but I think the aesthetics of sound are definitely there, the kind of, I guess I'm thinking more of the album than the actual song, but the song, that song, I think it's the layering of instruments and textures and harmonies,
the combination of the acoustic and electric, and I you can see that definitely in Europop. You know, you create this like beautiful visual imagery with the acoustic and like instruments, and it just starts to glitch a little bit, you know, with the presence of synths. It's almost like the album cover itself, you know, you have that beautiful beach scene and the little avatar kind of sticking out. Yeah, it's very cool. So again, in your previous work, you had a lot of, you know, experimental music and ambient. What kind of sparked the idea to go more structured pop for Europop?
It's something I've been always like I've always, that's the music I've always enjoyed, you know, like, and I think I can, like, it's been interesting to, like, I've never sung before. I think I've been in, like, more like song-oriented bands before, but I've never, like, tried my own voice, and that was kind of interesting process for this record to kind of find where that little zone is where my voice works, because it's very limited, you know, as you hear in the record, like I don't have a big range or anything, and it's kind of really quite like a little comfort zone I have. Then I had to was a process to learn how to write for this voice, you know, and I think when I had like attempts before, it always failed because I was trying to sing to something. And this time I actually tried to, okay, this is my little zone, and how can I write around this? You know, how can I make this work? So yeah.
That's very interesting. And I think, no, it definitely suits it so well. Like, you definitely found the voice for this record.
It's the only voice I can do. So.
So did you have a different approach to songwriting in this record?
It's definitely, I mean, I've been writing for other people before. And I guess this time I had to find not just my own voice, but my own lyrical voice too, I guess, you know, like what's so that's been, but it's kind of fell into place naturally, I find. Like I used to think quite conceptually about music, and this time I tried to be more like intuitive about that stuff, you know, not I'm gonna make an album about this, you know, and well, okay, let's see what comes out first and then try to find what might combine everything. So that's been, so I lost my train of thought here.
No, but that's okay. Yeah. It definitely came across, you know, I'm very fascinated by your lyrics because they're very interesting. They appear to be very, you know, mundane and kind of simple, but it feels like there's a hidden weight to them. You know, the more I listen to it, it just becomes more depressing, you know, it's a devastating record here.
I'm sorry.
It's true, but no, it's like, there's also humor to it as well. It kind of feels like inner dialogue. It's a little cruel and ironic. So again, I was curious about that, if you kind of went into this record saying, I know what I'm going to talk about, because there's a lot of themes, like reoccurring themes as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you're mentioning, it was something more subconscious, something more organic.
I think disappointment is definitely a theme on the record, and kind of dealing with it in an ironic way, you know, like it's definitely kind of an elevated version of myself there, which is a bit more full of itself, you know, and like I've done this and this, you know, don't you know who I am, kind of thing. Which is I'm the total opposite, you know, like I hope so at least. And but at the same time, these are also like thoughts I do have, you know. I'm a, you know, why wasn't I more successful, you know, why wasn't this a hit, you know. Of course I have these thoughts, you know, but I find it interesting to play with that angle too, like what's serious and what isn't, you know, like am I really you know, am I serious or not serious, you know, like. And it's based on real stuff, you know, like I was flown to LA to produce something and it failed, you know, that actually happened. But it's like, of course, it's I play with the idea of making it bigger than it actually was. You know? Yeah.
That's really interesting. I also wonder now too, with these like lyrics and more pop structures, are you able to express yourself differently, say, that you could not do with instrumental music?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think there's, well, in a different, I think it's just somebody talking to you, isn't it? I mean, like, it's just like, there is the, I think you just have a different, another layer of, like, sound can definitely create a feeling and meaning, but then just the vocals is like something, somebody's telling you something. And especially too with actually like my wife's doing some harmonies on there, you know, that I feel like that changes meaning again. Then, you know, then okay, there's a vocal harmony here on this lyric specifically, you know, that kind of elevates it again. So I feel like there's
I guess in a way you can kind of manipulate your listener a little more. Not that you were intending to manipulate anybody. But that's funny. So did you almost have a preference now? I wonder, now that you've done both, you know, instrumental music and, you know, music with lyrics and pop structures.
I think, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's definitely, I feel like this is the start of something. I feel like I discovered a new thing that I'm into now. And I think there's a couple more albums there maybe. And I wonder, I'm interested to see where it leads once I close this kind of chapter of Europop, you know, what's in this kind of theme of disappointment, you know, like what else do I have to say? Maybe nothing, maybe something, I don't know. Like, I'm definitely on the, I'm kind of excited to see where, what else I can do with it. Yeah, but it definitely, I'm still doing the other projects as well. So that's,
Well, I was wondering too, because you have such a varied past, which I think is just very interesting too, how you can kind of transform and morph into these different avatars almost as on the cover. But do you have any dream projects, maybe something that you've always wanted to do, either conceptually or even with genre?
Interesting question again. Let me think. I'm right now, I'm really into string arrangements, I think. And I've been listening to lots of 60s records, which were like, which have like this full orchestra in mono. I don't know, something about that, like mono string orchestras, that's really fascinates me right now. And I think, and how they, like lots of records back then had like a simple singer-songwriter. I think, I'm trying to think of an example now.
Oh, I'm thinking like Nick Drake almost. They had something like that.
Yeah, like that. And then, or like I think the first Leonard Cohen album maybe, or something where there's, but he doesn't go that far. But like, let me think. Also the first Bill Fay record, I think. Where it's like just a simple acoustic singer-songwriter thing happening, and then they hire this guy or whoever to, the producer said, no, it's not a hit, it's, you know, it's not a commercial enough, and they hired this big orchestra to kind of pump it up a bit. And
how can we make money? Let's see. Exactly, yeah. That's so, very
yeah, so I think something like that, like a just me on acoustic guitar and the string orchestra. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, you'll have to keep us up to date with all your new ideas and projects. And so we're almost coming to a close now, but before we close off, is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe something about the new album?
I'm trying to figure out how to play it live right now. I've got a thing I'm trying to do with a reel-to-reel tape machine.
So very cool, yeah.
Like on stage, so I think that's, hopefully I'll make it to Montreal as well sometime.
I hope so. You'll have to let us know. We'll have you back on the show. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we're actually going to be playing your first track off the album, Top 40, again. Beautiful and depressing song, but thank you. Thank you again for joining us. It's really a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Okay, once again, that was Carl Schilde, and we'll be playing his song Top 40 off his new album, Europop. And of course, you're listening to The Last Stop here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
In un mondo che non ci vuole più,
il mio canto libero sei tu e l'immensità si apre intorno a noi al di là del limite degli occhi tuoi. Nasce il sentimento, nasce in mezzo al pianto e si innalza altissimo e va e vola sulle accuse della gente, a tutti i suoi retaggi indifferente, sorretto da un anelito. Mondo che prigioniero è, respiriamo liberi, io e te, e la verità si offre nuda a noi, e limpida è l'immagine, ormai. Sensazioni, giovani emozioni si esprimono purissime in noi. La veste dei fantasmi del passato, cadendo lascia il quadro immacolato e s'alza un vento tiepido. Dolce compagna che non sai dove andare, ma sai che ovunque andrai, al fianco tuo mi avrai. Se tu lo vuoi,
¡Gracias! て風を集めて風を集めて青空をかけたいんです、青空を。とても素敵な朝明け時を通り抜けてた
coming to a close here on the last stop on CGLO 1690 AM in Montreal. So before the break, we got to hear from our spotlight artist Carl Schilda with his song Top 40, and then after that we heard from Italian artist Lucio Battisti with his song Il mio canto libero. After the break, we heard Kazuo Tsumete by Happy End, and just in case you're not familiar with that band, they are a side project from Hiromi Hosono from YMO, and I know I try to take any opportunity I can to talk about YMO, but, you know, it's kind of like my mission in life to try to, you know, convert as many fans as I possibly can. just before we close the show, me and Jesse would like to take this moment to acknowledge the Black Lives Matter movement, so if you'd like to become involved or learn some information, you can visit the website blacklivesmatter.com. And now to end the show, me and Jesse chose another song by our spotlight artist Carl Schilda. This song is Road Worn, and it was one of my first favorite songs when I first listened to the album. I also highly recommend checking out the video because it has some great footage of Niagara Falls. And so I'd like to thank Carl again for coming on the show. I had such a good time talking, and I got to let out my inner music geek. Anyways, thanks for listening, and of course you can check out our full episodes uploaded to our Mixcloud account, as well as the CGLO website. So once again, here is Road Worn by Carl Schilda. This is off the album Europop, which is out now on Fun the Church. And of course, you're listening to The Last Stop here on CGLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
Road-worn guitars, gotta have that old-time feel, as if I've been there myself. thinking of selling it. Businessman signing young bets and got a head that you thought fear, just a good. Record in the New York Times.